Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shabbos. After referring to them in passing multiple times throughout the Masechet, we are finally getting to the list of the 39 Melachos, the 39 Av Melachos of Shabbos. And that is the topic of Perek Zayin Mishnah Bet. Av Melachos, Avos Melachos, Arboim Chasar Achas. The Avos Melachos, which are the primary things that we cannot do on Shabbos, which match, as we've discussed, the things that were done to build the Beis HaMikdash, to build the Mishkan, are 39, 40 minus 1. And now we're going to list all of them. Now, the Avos Melachos are broken down into, essentially, four categories plus two Avos that don't fit into a category. The first category is what is referred to as Sidur de Pas. It is the melachos that are involved in the process that eventually concludes with the baking of bread. And all of this stuff is necessary to create bread. It's also necessary to create other stuff, it's easy to remember in terms of the process of baking bread. And the first of them is Hazorea, someone who plants. Planting in the ground is an Av Melacha, and of course we know that each of the Avos has Tolados, so it's not just planting, it's anything that causes plants to grow. Number two is Hachoresh, Ve'Hachoresh, someone who plows. Plowing is preparing the soil for growth, and in fact, it includes, the Tolados of Choresh include anything that improves the ground. Number three, Ve'Hakotzer. The Malach of Kotzer involves harvesting, so that is picking fruits, and in fact, in the Tolados of Kotzer include removing something from its source of growth. So it doesn't even have to be fruit. Ve'Ha'Me'amer. The Malach of Me'amer is gathering bundles. And so it specifically refers to natural produce, but it is gathering any natural produce together into a pile or a bundle. Number five, Hadash. Dash is threshing. Threshing is a process that separates the grain from the chaff. It is usually done in one of two ways, either by using a particular kind of instrument to kind of beat the grain stalks, or by having animals walk on it or drag a threshing sled, which is like a flat piece of wood with metal blades embedded in it. So it kind of runs over the grain and causes it to separate causes the grain to separate from the chaff that it grew in. And in fact, the Tolados of Dash include separating any natural product from its container, the container that it grew in. So it even includes, for example, milking a cow is Dash because it's separating the milk from the container in which it grew, which is the cow. Or pressing olives because it's separating the oil from the container in which it grew, which is the olive itself. The sixth melacha, Ve'Hazoreh, someone who is winnowing. Zoreh, winnowing is basically using the wind to separate things you want from the things you don't want. In the processing of grain, winnowing is after having threshed it, so now the grain has been separated, or at least loosened, from the chaff around it, so the farmer would kind of throw it up into the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff, and the seed, the grain, would fall back to the ground because it's heavier. And so that is the moach of Zoreh. And it includes any use of wind or air to separate wanted objects from unwanted objects. If you're peeling peanuts, if you have peanuts and the thin peanut skins are there and you blow them away from the peanuts, that would be the Malach of Zoreh, or would be included in the Malach of Zoreh. Number seven, Haborer. Borer is selecting, so that is separating something that you want from among things that you don't want. Borer is among one of the most complicated melachos to make sure that you're observing properly, because it's something we run into every Shabbos, as we deal with food, we're always dealing with things that we want and things that we don't want. It is the malacha of borer that is the original cause for the creation of gefilte fish, because eating fish that has bones in it could be problematic if you end up picking out the bone in an improper way, rather than picking the fish off the bone. And therefore, gefilte fish has no bones and allows you to eat fish without having to be worried about borer. Number eight, hatochin. Tochin is grinding. And so obviously with grain, it involves grinding it into flour. But the toledos of tochin also include breaking anything down into smaller usable pieces. V'hamarakid. Merakid is sifting. Sifting is also similar to borer and separating good from bad, but it is done using a strainer. So sifting involves using a strainer to separate objects that are mixed together, to separate the good and the bad, the good from the bad. It is notable that merakid and borer and zoreh are all similar in that they involve separating what you want from what you don't want, or the inverse, separating what you don't want from what you want, but they are done in different ways, and so therefore they are different malachos. Number 10, v'halosh. Losh is kneading. Now, of course, in the preparation of dough, it is putting the water into the flour and creating a dough and mixing it all together. And in fact, the toledos of losh include anything that involves combining particles with liquid to make a paste or a dough, like making oatmeal. It would definitely be losh. And finally, for Sidur de Pas, number 11, Veha Ofe, baking. Baking does not just include making bread, but of course any kind of cooking, and in its toledos involve changing the nature of something by applying heat. So it doesn't even need to be food necessarily in order for it to be an Isser of Ofe or Bishel. That is the end of Sidur de Pas, the 11 malachos that are involved in creation of bread. And we're now moving into Sidur de Beged, the 13 malachos that are involved in creating clothing or other kinds of fabric. Now, all of these malachos in the Mishnah are framed in terms of wool, but obviously most of them apply to other things other than wool. And the first of them, so number 12, is Hagozes Esatzemer. The malacha of gozes is shearing, right? So if you have a sheep, it's shearing the wool off of the sheep. And the toledos of gozes involve any kind of detaching non-living parts from a living creature. So cutting one's own fingernails would be gozes. Hamelabno, someone who whitens the wool. That is, the milch of melabin involves whitening, or which is basically cleaning something that is dirty. So removing dirt from something, or doing laundry. V'hamminapetzo. The melacha of minapetz, number 14, is combing. Combing involves untangling raw materials into separate strands. The wool, when it comes off of a sheep, is usually a big clump, and it needs to be combed in order to turn it into individual strands. The same thing is true for flax. The flax has to be combed as well in order to turn it into individual strands. Number 15, v'hatzova'o. The malach of tzovea is dyeing, changing or strengthening the color of something. Vehatove, number 16. Tove is spinning, that is twisting fibers into a thread. So after having sheared off the wool, whitened it, that is to say cleaned it, combed it into strands and dyed it into a color, it would now be spun into strings, so that these threads can then be twisted together into a thicker string and eventually woven into a garment. The next four malachos involve the using of a loom. So let's take a couple of seconds and describe how an ancient loom would work, how the old looms work. Basically, the looms would have a couple of parts. At the far end, there is a roller, and that roller has on it strings that run in one direction, that is towards the lower roller. The lower roller sits in front of the weaver. So the strings are wrapped around the upper roller, and are stretched down to the lower roller. These strings are called the shesi strings. They are the length of the garment. And in the middle, there is, in the middle of the loom, there are two frames, usually made out of wood or something. And these frames have within them strings and loops. So essentially, the shesi strings on their way from the upper roller to the lower roller go through these frames and alternating, and they alternate going through the rings in each one. That is to say, the odd numbered strings pass through the frame, the one frame, let's call it frame number two, without going through the rings. But in frame number one, they go through rings that hold them in place. The even numbered strings go through the rings of frame number two, but just pass through frame number one without going through the rings to be held in place. And so the way that the weaving is done is that the frames are raised and lowered alternatingly. So on the first pass through, the frame number one is raised up and frame number two is lowered down. And then the Erev strings, the cross string, is passed through. And then the frames are swapped. And that causes the alternating strings to go over and under and over the string that had been passed through. And that's what creates weaves. And then after the frames are swapped, the cross string is passed back through. And so on and so forth. And so that is what's involved in weaving with an old loom. You can, I'm sure, find this information, see this being done on YouTube somewhere. But that's basically how a loom is constructed. And the next four melachos involve using the loom. So number 17 is vehamesech. Mesech is threading the loom. So that means basically running the shesi strings. The shesi strings are wound around the upper roller, called Kovid HaElyon, and then running them down to the Kovid HaTachton, the lower roller. Number 18, V'ha'osa Shnei Batenirim. Osa Shnei Batenirim is either building two rings in the frames, those frames that we talked about that have rings in them, strings with rings. So building those frames or the rings in the frames, or inserting the shesi strings into the rings. And the Mishnah tells us that in order to be chayv daraisa, you have to do two. So you have to run two strings through the rings, or two, you have to create two rings. And those are going to force the strings to either up or down for the weaving process. Number 19, v'ha'oreg shnei chutin. Weaving two threads, basically passing the erev strings, the cross string, back and forth through the loom twice. So raise the loom, meaning raise frame one and lower frame two, pass it through, then swap the frames and pass it back through again. And that's the Malacha D'Oraisa of Oreg. And number 20, V'ha'potzea Shnei Chutin. Potzea is separating off some strings, either the shesi strings or the erev strings, basically undoing weave. Why would you do that? It has to be for constructive purposes, right? Because all av melachos are for constructive purposes. So if the weave was funky, it didn't come out right, so then you might undo part of the weave to fix it. And that would be potzea. We are now done with the loom, but we're not yet done with sidur de beged. The process of creating clothes. Hakosher, number 21, tying a permanent knot. And number 22, Vehamatir, untying a permanent knot. Number 23, Vehatofer shtei tefiros, sewing two stitches. The malach of tofer involves sewing. It has to be two stitches, meaning through the garment and back. If you only put a string one way through a garment, it's not attaching anything. And in fact, the tolados of tofer include attaching any two materials together, whether it's by string or with glue or with anything. Attaching two things together is tofer. And finally, number 24, which is the last item in Sidur de Beged, HaKorea al-menas l'tfor shtei tefiros. Korea is tearing, ripping or cutting apart material. And as we've said previously, it has to be for a constructive purpose. And so the Mishnah gives us a constructive purpose if you tear two things apart in order to reattach them, right? In the case of garments, if you would tear apart a garment, tear apart two pieces that were already attached but attached improperly. So you would pull them apart in order to reattach them properly. And so any kind of separating is going to be asur d'oraisa if it's for a constructive purpose. Of course, if it's not for a constructive purpose, it may not be asur d'oraisa, it's still going to be asur d'rabanan. The next seven malachos, the next seven malachos, numbers 25 through 31, are sidur de'or. They are the process involved in processing leather, processing skins into leather. And so we begin, and here they are framed in terms of a deer. Hatzad tzivi, one who hunts or traps a deer. So tzad includes trapping any animal, fish, or bird. And it basically is restricting the freedom of something that was not already restricted. If one has a dog, there is nothing wrong with closing your door with the dog inside, because you're not trapping the dog because the dog already lived inside and it was already domesticated. However, if a deer, chas v'shalom, should enter into your house and you then close the door, that would be tzad, because the deer does not belong in your house. You have now restricted its movement and trapped it. Number 26, hashochto. Shochet is slaughtering, one who kills the deer or shortens the life of any creature. Number 27, veha mafshito. Mafshit is skinning a dead animal, so removing the skin, removing the leather from a dead animal. Number 28, hamolcho, salting the skins, and actually, veha me'abedes oro, tanning, processing the leather. The Gemara points out that molech and ma'abed are really the same malacha. It's really the malacha of ma'abed, which is tanning, processing leather. Processing leather also involves salting it, but it's not a separate malacha. The Gemara discusses why it's listed here as two, and the Gemara substitutes in a new 39th, which we'll talk about next as number 30, not as number 29. Because molech and ma'abed are the same process, but there is a process, part of the leather process, that actually should be here, it is not. So number 29 is v'hamochako, smoothing it. The malach of memachek involves smoothing. In the processing of leather, it involves scraping off the hair and smoothing the skins. But in fact, it is includes the toledos include rubbing anything in order to make it smoother. Number 30, which is not listed in the Mishnah, is mesartate. Mesartate is marking. Making marks or lines on a surface for a constructive purpose, such as indicating where something should be cut or where it should be folded. And those marks don't have to be written on. That would be kotev, getting it up to that. They could even be just a fold to show somebody where to cut or something like that. Back to our Mishnah, number 31, the final step in Sidur D'Or, Mechatech, V'ham Mechatecho, cutting to a specific size, or to a specific shape, right? A skin is not in the shape that we're usually going to want it to be in for leather, and it would be cut into the proper shape. That would be the Melech of Mechatech, but it also involves cutting anything to a specific size or shape. The next six Melechos are actually in pairs. So there is a constructive process, and its inverse, the destructive process, which could be used in order to fix for constructive purposes. So our number 32, Hakosev Shnei Osios, writing. Writing is making any mark on a surface that is meaningful, a meaningful mark. And in order to chayev d'oraisa, you have to make two meaningful marks. two letters, but really two marks of any kind, two indicators of significance. And the inverse, v'amochek amenas lichtov shtei osios, erasing for the purpose of writing, right, which would be then constructive erasing, or any other reason that it would be constructive, but it has to be constructive rather than destructive in order to be asur daraisa. Of course, it's asur darabanan, even if it is destructive. The next pair, number 34, habone. Bone is building, which means creating or improving a structure. V'hasoser, number 35, demolishing. Demolishing, of course, has to be done for constructive purposes in order to be asur d'oraisa. If it's done for destructive purposes, it would be still asur d'rabanan, but not d'oraisa. And the final pair, which is actually listed backwards, hamechabe, extinguishing fire, v'hamavir, lighting fire. So extinguishing fire involves extinguishing in any part, that is to say, reducing its intensity or making it go out sooner. And mavir is lighting a fire or causing it to burn brighter, stronger, or longer. And so that is numbers 36 and 37. That leaves us the last two avos. The last two avos are different than the others, don't really belong in any set. Number 38 is makah b'patish. Makah b'patish is the final step of completing an object, and it includes any kind of completing an object's construction by making it completely ready for use. For example, actually, if you have a pair of shoes, brand new pair of shoes that has no laces, and you put laces into your brand new pair of shoes, that is actually the macha of makah b'patish, because you are taking something which is almost finished and almost usable. It's pretty much finished, but not yet usable, and you're making it really finished and usable. It is also includes, makah b'patish also includes fixing an item that is broken, because it is, again, not ready for use until you fix it. And the final malacha is hamotzi mirshus l'rishus. Hotzah, we've been talking about this a lot, and we will continue to talk about it. Transferring from an item from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, or carrying four amos from Rishus HaRabim. Right? This malacha is different from the others in that it does not appear to involve making an impact on nature, and it is much harder to define, which is why we've spent so much time talking about it. And in fact, we're actually going to go right back to it in the next Mishnah.